A reading from the book of Hosea. Thus says the Lord, therefore I will now allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know the Lord. The word of the Lord. If you were reading along with the scripture, you'll notice that the last paragraph is different. I selected the New American Bible translation rather than the New Revised Standard Version, typically used on our website, because I felt that the translation of that last paragraph in the NAB was more inclusive of both men and women. The New Revised Standard Version repeatedly states that I, meaning the Lord, will take you for my wife, rather than espouse you to me forever. I will take you for my wife. Certainly, Hosea is utilizing marriage as a metaphor for the covenant between God and Israel, and Hosea intends for this metaphor to be a positive one. But we also need to be aware of the problems inherent in this metaphor and also within some of the translations of Hosea. The NRSV translates as taking a wife, taking, not being joined with or espoused to, but taking, as if the wife were a piece of property, an object to take, like taking my lunch to work. Now, in order to do justice to preaching upon any biblical passage, it's important to note the context in which it sits, the historical context, as well as what precedes and follows the preached text. It's important to note that the biblical passages that precede and follow today's passage of Hosea can perpetuate the negative and often violent stereotypes of marital life gone awry, and they need to be read, preached, and proclaimed with care, denouncing the destructive stereotypes and proclaiming the value and dignity of all humanity. And to do so, preachers and biblical exegetes must unmask those verses of Hosea which speak of doing violence to the unfaithful wife and continue to stereotype the woman as the unfaithful one, while the husband, the male figure, is portrayed as the continual faithful one. These stereotypes are detrimental to the life-giving grace and knowledge of the equal dignity and value of both men and women. And we must remind people that while we declare this the word of the Lord, these biblical words are also the words of humanity, rooted in the social context and history of Hosea's mind and his time. That's not without fault. Today's passage, in the midst of the surrounding troubling ones, this passage that the church has selected for today's reading is truly the diamond in the rough, a real gem sparkling in the sandbox. It's God's tender, gentle, and consistent love in the face of humanity's unfaithfulness that is the grace that speaks to us through today's particular passage. And yet, here in this passage, God also comes courting. God comes courting humanity. God is going to bring Israel to their special place, the wilderness, the desert, where the covenant was first made at Sinai. God is, in one respect, taking the people Israel back to the place where they first expressed their love, or they had a very special date, back to their honeymoon spot. And it is there, in the wilderness, alone in the desert, where she, Israel, representative of all the people, where she will respond to her lover, God, as she first did in the fresh flower of new love. We hear that the people of Israel would no longer address its God as Baal, which in addition to being the name of the Canaanite God, also translates as Lord and Master. No longer Baal, but as Isi, meaning my man, my husband, connoting a relationship of partnership rather than subordination. The Hebrew word of Ishi harkens back to the delightful play upon the Hebrew phonics, where Adam first sees Eve made from the rib of his side. He is Ishi, she is Isha. There is a mutuality, an equality, a complementariness that existed before the fall that God means to set aright here in this passage of Hosea. God renews the covenant with the people of Israel and extends to them and to us and to all who have wandered from God a tender love, a gentle love, a love where we will respond with heart and mind and soul. The goal of the journey into the wilderness is to experience a second honeymoon, which renews the covenant between God and the people, in which the people once again know the Lord. And this knowledge, knowing of the Lord, is to be personal, experiential, intimate. The Hebrew verb yerach, to know, also refers to sexual intercourse. And so this kind of intimate, physical and experiential knowing, knowledge of the Lord is the all-encompassing, all-consuming relationship described by Catherine of Siena and countless other mystics. It's the ecstasy of body, mind, and soul that Teresa of Avila experienced. And so how does this apply to us? And certainly not all of us are married, and far fewer of us, I suspect, are mystics. But I think all of us have felt that newness of love, a freshness of love, an intenseness of new love. Now, perhaps it was when you met your spouse, or maybe it was when you first took your vows or responded to your Dominican vocation. We've all felt that wonderful, resplendent, awe-inspiring love, love for a special person, love for God. Love that we may have let diminish over time. And for Hosea to speak these tender words of God had to have had special meaning to him. In earlier verses, Hosea's wife Gomer was described as a promiscuous woman. Now, whether she was a prostitute or not isn't certain, but somehow Hosea's marriage was damaged, and he knew all too well the pains of a broken heart, and probably yearned for return to those happy days of courtship. And what about us? Have we let the flames of God dampen and diminish over time? Maybe we too can look back upon our faith journey and wish for those days when we were so full of hope, so full of idealism, so full of zeal and zest for the Lord. So let's allow the Lord to allure us, to return to that special place, for that special moment in our hearts when we first responded to the Lord. Let's go to the Eucharistic table to be refreshed and renewed. Immerse ourselves in prayer and contemplation to allow ourselves to be brought to that special place of encounter with the Lord, where we can once again truly know the Lord, be infused with the Lord in heart, in mind, and in soul. And may we respond tenderly, generously, emphatically, as in the springtime of our call.